We're back here on Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino, and happy to be welcomed in one of our favorites, the great Drew Brees, legendary quarterback of the black and gold, leading them to a Super Bowl title, joining us here on WWL right now. Drew, how's it going, man?
It's going great. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Drew, have you tell us a story? I've heard it before about when things weren't going to work out with San Diego and the Chargers, and then Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis brought you in. This is like, what, 5.5, 6 months after Katrina. And, you know, I know you lived in Texas and then you went to Purdue, but just to see the devastation that had happened with Katrina, you could see it on TV, but it's nothing like seeing it in person. It was almost shocking, even for people that lived here, to see what had happened at that time.
I mean, it was devastating. You know, I mean, I think like most natural disasters, you know, wherever you are and you're watching it on TV, it just pales in comparison to what the reality is for the people that are going through it. But I certainly can remember that moment as Katrina was happening. And we had my college roommate and his wife were living in New Orleans at the time. So we did have even more of a connection than just, hey, this is one of our American cities. This is, you know, happening to the people, you know, right here in this country. But, you know, we had friends that we were close to that were, you know, all of a sudden evacuating, and, you know, we're trying to track them down and all that stuff while all this is happening. But you still have no idea the reality of it until, you know, we actually step foot, you know, into New Orleans, you know, at a time when, you know, obviously I never thought in my wildest dreams that we would be there, you know, and I'd be in free agency and, you know, the New Orleans Saints would be courting me, you know, during that time. But yeah, the reality of it became very real, you know, on that visit.
True. One of the great stories, and you've said it before, about you trying to get to the dome on the opening when the dome was reopened, Saints playing the Falcons, and the job you had to just to get there, because every avenue was sort of jammed. I think people wanted to get there ahead of time. It was such a big event. It showed, I think, everybody across the region and also the country, hey, we're going to rebuild this back. But you got an adventure just trying to get to the dome that day when you guys were going to play the Falcons on Monday night.
Yeah, look, I'm such a creature of habit, and especially on game day, you know, I mean, my schedule is just down to the second. And, I mean, I remember we were staying at the Airport Hilton Hotel at the time, you know, which is about as far away from the dome as you could get. But, you know, that's kind of the best we could do. That's where that's where they put us up. And so, you know, I thought, hey, I'm trying to get to the game 3 hours ahead of time. So I'm going to leave literally 4 hours ahead of the game to get there, and thinking, hey, I'll give myself an hour to get there. Well, you know, I went down Airline Drive and then cut up to I-10, and I-10 was just jam packed. And so I said, well, I'll go back down to Airline. And I went back down to Airline, and Airline was jam packed. So I went back up to I-10. I mean, look, I didn't know all the shortcuts at that time. I had only been a resident for, you know, a few months, and had only been in the dome one time before. And that was literally 2 days previous. Cause if you recall, obviously we didn't play any preseason games there. And the first time we had a chance to actually step foot in the dome was for a practice that was 2 days before the game. So next thing I know, I mean, I'm in the car for 2 hours and I'm sweating bullets. Cause I'm sitting here going, this is the biggest game of my life, of our lives, of the city's life. And I'm about to be late to this game. I mean, it's like your worst nightmare for that to happen. And, at the very least, you're supposed to be in the locker room 2 hours before game time. And I was sitting there, and it was like I'd already passed that threshold. And I'm sitting there staring at the Poydras exit off of I-10. And I got to a point where I actually thought, can I park my car on the shoulder and start running down the ramp to get into the dome at the time? And just, I was thinking how ridiculous that would look, that the starting quarterback of the Saints is literally running down the ramp in order to get into the dome. But I was like, all right, just hang in there. And finally we got down the ramp and I'm jumping curbs in order to get there. And then I was driving an old Land Rover Defender 90 at the time that had a Safari roof rack on the top. And I got into the garage, but then I hit one of those water pipes, those steel water pipes that hang down, and my car screeched to a halt. I had sparks flying. I literally spun that thing out of the garage, and then I threw the keys to the security guard and literally said, "Hey, man, please take care of this for me," as I went sprinting in the locker room. And it was all that happened before that game.
Oh, that's an unbelievable story. I told this story to Zach Street before, and he said, "Mike, I can't believe it, but if I wouldn't have been here, I know it's true." I had numerous people that had lived in New Orleans, lost everything. So they were relocated now. And so, you get on the phone with them, or they were coming back to see about things here. And the first question out of their mouth wasn't about, "Man, I lost everything, and, what am I doing, everything else." The thing is, "Man, are the Saints for real this year? I can't believe this team is that good." And it was so funny that for many people, was the outlet. Okay, it gave them the outlet that there was something good happening in their life. But I told Zach, I'm not kidding you. I had this happen at least 6 to 7 times with people who lived there, and I know they lost everything. But their main concern wasn't the house or anything else. "Man, what about the Saints?" And that was an unbelievable ride. So you 3 or 4 games into the season, and you're like, "Okay, kind of pinch me a little bit. Is this really happening?" And I know we had Scott Shanley on yesterday, and he was like, we really played sort of over our heads that year. We really did. But we saw what it meant to the region.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That was such a crazy off season, because obviously we were, Sean Payton just arrived and he was assembling this group of free agents and a lot of guys that obviously saw this as more of a calling than it was just, a job as a football player. So as we assembled this group, I mean, look, it was kind of a ragtag bunch, in the beginning. And obviously, so much of that offseason was spent away from the building because, they were still trying to kind of, renovate the our facility, and the National Guard was still operating out of it. And, we went to Millsaps College for training camp, and it was, certainly one of the toughest training camps anybody ever gone through, and probably took years off guys' lives. But, it definitely kind of broke us down in order to build this back up as a team. But I don't know if you remember that preseason. I mean, it was dreadful. We went up to Shreveport and just got absolutely destroyed by the Cowboys. And then we went played a home game at Jackson Memorial Stadium in Jackson and got destroyed by the Colts, who obviously went on and won the Super Bowl. But nonetheless, I think there were times during that off season where we kind of looked at each other and like, "Man, I'm not sure if we're going to win a game." It was that dreary at times, but I also knew what always kept us getting up in the morning and putting one foot in front of the other was just knowing how much we could have an impact on all the not just the rebuilding efforts, but the psyche, the psyche of our fan base and of the community. And we knew how much they were counting on us and how much we needed to put our best foot forward for them. And also that was a great source of strength for us, and it was like every step of the way we just got better and better and stronger and stronger. And with each victory through that season, we go to Cleveland, we get that victory 19-14 against the Browns, and kind of a weird game. And then we go up to Green Bay, who was pretty good, and start the game off terrible with 3 turnovers, and then end up beating Favre and those guys up there, the previous division winners, in the fourth quarter. And then we came back home for the reopening of the Dome. And then after that, it was like, "Man, I think we can beat anybody."
Drew, you've had a ton of special moments in the Superdome. You mentioned there the reopening of the Superdome. And when that Steve Gleason blocked punt happened, you could just feel fans unjust leashing their emotions and all their frustrations and that joy in that moment in the Superdome. What do you remember best about that?
Well, the Steve Gleason block punt will be the greatest play in the history of this organization. And funny for me is I didn't see it. I heard it. For me, I was at the other end of the field, and we're obviously in a situation where we're expecting to return a punt. So I'm down at the other end, and I'm just I'm more, you know, focusing on, okay, what are the opening plays here? What am I expecting? You know, what are my answers if they do this or do that? You know, so I'm just very much locked in and focused on my job. And I hear what sounds like a shotgun blast. And then my eyes go up to the screen and then to the field. And here we are returning that block punt for a touchdown. I see Steve running around. And, you know, I mean, it's just one of those moments like, what in the world just happened? But I've never heard the Superdome as loud as that moment. And I know many a Houdat, you know, Nation faithful who have been in that dome on a lot of big moments would say the same.
Drew, I'll throw it to you. Saints this year, your expectations for this team. Bobby and I have talked about this, Drew, and just, I mean, you can't tell a lot from preseason because to me, that's a big mirage sometimes. But I think front seven defensively, this team had always taken a lot of confidence that they could stop somebody's running game. And I think that's still a huge part of the NFL college football today. Getting Davin Godshaw, and I think they're a better team up front, that front seven. And I really think that I think is a major positive for this team in a rebuilding process, because we know the offense with some different things kind of here and there, that will take a little bit of time. But defensively, I think their ability to stop the run is going to be better than what we've seen the last 2 years. And that's really been disappointing. You can't give up 5 yards of pop in this league. You can't do it.
Yeah, look, I think we've prided ourselves a lot on stopping the run, especially over the last 7-8 years. And we've got veteran guys, you know, leaders that have been a part of this and really the core part of this for a long time, DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan. I think we've drafted really well. And we've got pieces in place and depth in place on the defensive side of the ball and guys that are hungry and ready to make a name for themselves. Look, offensively, I think we have as good an offensive line as anybody in the league. We have explosive receivers outside. We've got one of the most dynamic running backs in the league. So you'd say, really, you know, hey, the thing you're waiting to see is how does the quarterback position perform, right? For guys that are just young and don't have a lot of experience. I think Spencer Rattler is extremely talented, and he can make all the throws. And he can make a lot of plays outside the pocket as well. I think what you're just hoping for is that he can continue to grow and develop and understand, hey, what really wins and loses games in this league, and how do we put ourselves in the best position to win, you know, each and every Sunday, given the fact that we're going to have a defense that's going to take pride in stopping the run. We've got the ability to run the football ourselves and the ability to make some explosive plays. But at this point, like, who in the division really scares you? Nobody scares me in the division. You know, Tampa's got the edge because they've been the division winner the last couple of years, and they've got the most veteran quarterback. But other than that, I mean, who really worries you? I think this whole division is wide open. I think the Saints are flying under the radar, and I think that's a good place to be right now.
True. One thing I always wanted to ask you, and I don't think we've ever brought this up in the conversation, Tracy Porter's interception in the end zone. Did you see that play? And how it transpired, you know, because I saw Peyton throw that pass so many times to Reggie Wayne, and either that or to Marvin Harrison. It was one of the two. And he used that same sort of pattern a lot. But where were you kind of watching that play? Because it looked as though Tracy had saw it on film, kind of jumped the route, was able to get it, and go in for the score.
Yeah, so I was on the sideline, and again, you know, I was in my own head thinking about, I was planning a 2-minute drive, because here we are, we're up 24-17, 3 minutes left, and I'm assuming, hey, it's Peyton Manning, and they're going to go down, they're going to score a touchdown, and then we're going to get the ball back with a minute and change, and we're going to have to go down and find a way to kick a field goal to beat them. And so in my mind, I'm just sitting there rehearsing a 2-minute drive in my head, and then same thing, you know, you just hear the eruption of the crowd. And you look up and there's Tracy Porter running on the field with the ball. So in talking with him, talking with all of our DBs and everything, to your point, that was a route that they just studied. You know, obviously that Colts offense was one of the best of all time. And, but yeah, they have tendencies just like everybody else. And our guys would tell you, man, they saw that tendency, that release pattern, that situation, and just knew, hey, this is what's coming. And Tracy did a heck of a job of trusting those instincts and jumping it and making that play.
Back-to-back, does it against Favre, and then bang, does it against Peyton Manning. The news broke a little over an hour ago, but, man, how about the Packers getting Micah Parsons Ooh-wee. From the Cowboys? They gave up two first-round picks. Kenny Clark, Kenny's played in this league for a few years. He's 29 years old now. But, you know, a lot of people were, the Eagles are going to be difficult to beat in the NFC. They look like they got the ride here. Man, with the Packers getting Micah Parsons, he ain't no regular guy on the street now. There ain't a lot of guys that can rush the quarterback and make cause havoc like Micah Parsons can. That's a huge, huge trade for Green Bay to get him.
Well, all my Packers buddies texted me the minute that happened. They were like, this feels like the Reggie White trade. So I can tell you how excited they are. Look, he's a difference maker. There's no question. I had no idea what happened in Dallas to make that thing fall apart like that. But, you know, obviously he's got a lot to prove. And he just seems like one of those guys who's highly competitive and takes a lot of pride in what he does and how people perceive him. So I imagine he's going to have a monster year. And hopefully that works out for both sides. Look, the Cowboys are getting a ton of picks and a great player in Kenny Clark. We'll see. We'll obviously see how this thing plays out. But, that's a pretty shocking movement here, you know, to start this season.
Drew, looking at you, we're going to be up for first ballot Hall of Fame. We're expecting to hear your name and definitely looking forward to that when that happens. I know you've got to be anxious for next season when that all comes about.
We lost them there.
Unfortunate that our connection there with Drew ends up dropping out. But yeah,
great stuff.
I think, Mike, that's a slam dunk right there for Drew being a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Him, Larry Fitzgerald.
Ding, ding. Okay, easy peasy, right?
They shouldn't have the Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame, if those two guys don't get in year one. Man, Drew was unbelievable as a player. I hope I live long enough to see another quarterback in the black and gold that can perform right like what Drew could. And, man, Larry Fitzgerald. You talk about a guy, okay, he rarely kind of beat the chest. He was unlike the diva receivers
exactly
you see
what
today
I was gonna say, right?
In the NFL. Man, Larry did everything quiet, but, man, he just would eat you alive as a route runner, get open, and then every once in a while he hits the big play. You know what always I think of that? Super Bowl Sunday they playing against the Steelers, and I was watching a game with Joe Clark, my neighbor, and Joe's like, watch, it's going over the middle of Larry Fitzgerald. I was like, okay, sure enough, he hits him, Larry runs it in. Now, Pittsburgh able to come back and win the game.
Right.
But Joe made the call right before the snap. And, man, Larry, I think, is an unbelievable player. So is Drew, deserves to get in. And the other guy, too, I don't know how he didn't get in this year, Luke Kuechly.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he didn't play 15 years in the NFL, but Drew, last time we had him on 2 weeks ago, made the comment, the best football player I ever played against.
That's best. Huge praise, right.
For him to say that. No, Luke Kuechly belongs in Pro Football's Hall of Fame, along with Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald.